I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. 8 days ago, the democracy activist Wang Youcai was locked in his cell in Zhejiang Prison No. 1 in the large Chinese port city of Hangzhou. He had served 5 years of an 11-year sentence for subversion. You could say he was getting used to jail. He'd also been imprisoned as one of the leaders of the Tiananmen Square student protests in 1989. But now, he is free, and he is here with me in the Connection studio. But it is not an altogether happy ending. Mr. Wang was given a few short moments to say goodbye to his family and to the country of his birth, and then ordered to leave China. Chinese authorities would have us see this as leniency, as a sign of China's respect for human rights. We'll ask Wang Youcai about that, but we'd also like to hear from you. Is China changing its attitude about human rights? Or is this a public relations campaign to show a softer side of the Chinese government? Should the West maintain pressure on China to reform its human rights policy? Or is it time for the people in China to take matters into their own hands? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I have just a reminder for our listeners, for the balance of this hour, we'll be conducting this conversation with the use of translators. And so I would ask you, I would encourage you to call and remind you to keep your questions short. It's a reminder for me as well. So I'll begin by saying to Wang Youcai, welcome here and welcome to America.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to have this opportunity to participate in this interview, and I'd like to answer questions from my audience, and I want to share my experience with American friends.
Do you know why the Chinese government released you from prison early?
When I was in prison, I wasn't sure. When I came to the United States, many friends told me a lot of information. I think this is the international pressure, especially from the United States and American government, American people, the pressure on the Chinese government, which resulted in my release from the prison.
Now, the people at the prison said they were releasing you because of bad health. I know you've been to see a doctor. How is your health?
When I was in prison in China, I had physical, as many other prisoners did. They said I had a poor health. At that time, I wasn't sure. Now, when I came here, this week, this past Tuesday, at a physical at the state hospital in Rhode Island, and the result has not come out yet, but I got a preliminary result. It said my health is okay.
Good. You have been fighting for democracy for all your adult life. You're 38 years old now, and you got involved as a student, as a university student. I want you to take us back to Tiananmen Square. Many people in this country know that place. What really happened on the night when the soldiers came into Tiananmen Square?
On that night, the situation was very severe. A lot of soldiers, troops, poured into the Tiananmen Square from all directions. They began to shoot. At that time, I was at the Beijing Hotel, along with from people from Taiwan. I was contacting with them. There is a performance at there. When I heard the shots, I left the Beijing Hotel on my way to the Tiananmen Square. I was responsible for the for the leaders of the students. When I saw the situation was very serious, I saw tanks, I saw soldiers and were beaten students. But I didn't find out any leaders of the students at Tiananmen Square. So later, due to the severe situation, I phoned the Beijing Students Autonomous Federation and asked them to destroy some of the materials and to hide the information. Then I went to the Beijing Students Autonomous Federation and to deal with some of the situation.
Many people were killed in the square that night. Were they your friends?
On June 4th, 1989, my good friends were killed. A lot of people were killed. On June the 4th, when I returned to the Beijing Autonomous Federation, a lot of phone calls from the hospitals. We also sent a lot of students and vehicles to the hospitals to find out the wounded and the killed situation. And the situation was very brutal.
That was 15 years ago now. You know what China was like then. You know what China's like today. When you think back to Tiananmen Square, do you think that the students were pushing too fast, too hard?
On this problem, I think I would tell the truth. In 1989, I felt similarly. I thought that the students should take a more casual, gradual approach.
And now do you believe the same thing?
Of course, I believe the same. And later, I formed the China Democracy Party so that China's change will come from with the opposition party and also candidates from opposition parties.
Now, 1 year after you founded the China Democracy Party, you were arrested again and sent to jail. And you've been there in that jail now for the past 5 years. What was it like there? Were you well treated?
In jail, because I was one of the known celebrities, maybe, because of international pressure, both domestic and international, so that the prisons and the police treated me personally. Not much, harm, but the situation in the prison is very severe, and the meals are not good, and people having a depressing life there. Because other reasons for imprisonment, I was very stressed. A lot of stress from people recording my what I say there.
Recording what you say?
Yes.
They send what I say to the police, so they do not allow me to talk with the other people there.
Are you allowed to read in prison?
They allow me to read. I can subscribe some newspapers and magazines and some books, but the books are Chinese. English books are not allowed to read because the police, they do not read English, so they will not allow me to read English books there.
Do they try to change your mind? about China? Do they have any kind of sessions with people who try to make you see it from the government's perspective?
At the beginning, they try to do this, but under such circumstances, I tried my best to explain my ideas and my ideas of value. Even if I learned natural sciences, I still have some knowledge, so they cannot convince me. I say, you cannot change me. I cannot change you, but you cannot change me. So they cannot change my mind. So they just let me go.
But what do they do to try to change your mind?
They say China's every situation was rose in China. This is what the police say. The conversations with them gave me pressure and the discipline. They really try hard to change my mind, to change my viewpoint. But finally, they acknowledge that I'm really die hard.
When you left China a week ago, you had a very short period of time to say goodbye to your family.
Yes,
you
that's true.
Three brothers, three sisters, mother, father.
My parents have six children, including myself, six. My parents, three brothers, three sisters.
How much time did you have to say goodbye to them?
Half an hour, approximately half an hour. It's relatively long. Under such circumstances, people feel very we were very, very emotional because I would leave and for long.
And do they think that you're better off in America than you were in jail in China?
Of course. They think, even a lot of people who are not in jail, they think America is better because America is a great country, it's a free country. That's why a lot of people want to come here. For me, as a prisoner, it's even better to come to the United States.
We will talk a little bit more about your few days here and your time in China when we come back. We have to take a short break right now. A reminder to our listeners, my guest is Mr. Wang Youcai, and he was released from a Chinese prison just a week ago. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We're interested in having you join our conversation about just exactly what the Chinese government is up to. Is it public relations to release high-profile political prisoners while other people are being pushed in the door at the other side of the prison? Or is this a mark of change in China? 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My guest this hour is Wang Youcai. Back in 1989, in the days after the Tiananmen Square massacre, he was considered one of the 21 most wanted people by the Chinese government. They caught him. They put him in prison. They kept him there for a year, released him in 1998. He started the China Democracy Project. He started that just prior to the visit of U.S. President Bill Clinton. But in 1999, he was once again picked up by the police put in jail. He has been there for the last 5 years. 1 week ago, he was released from Zhejiang No. 1 prison in Hangzhou in southern China, immediately put on a plane for San Francisco, from there to Providence, Rhode Island, from there to our Connection studio. He's here to talk with us about his time in prison, his ideas about China today. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We're going to take our first call from Nashville, Tennessee, and Yung Wang is calling in. Yung Wang, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. First of all, I want to welcome Wang Yitzhakam to the United States. I'm sorry to hear your story, and this is the first time I hear from the real person talking about his experience from the massacre. And I admire your courage and contribution to China's human rights development. Since in the past 5 years, Mr. Wang Yitzhakam has been in prison, and I want to here, first of all, I have two questions about the human rights issue and the property rights. The China government is trying to revise the amend to the constitution and to protect the property rights and human rights. What does he think about these two points? And another point is, another question is, since the internet is changing so fast and Chinese people is receiving information in a enormous fast speed, and as many people know, the Google was blocked long ago, and it was unblocked very fast because there are huge information exchange between the free world and China, and that get unblocked very quickly, and this would never happen before. So the China government is changing constantly, and do you think that we should give Chinese government give them credit for making the efforts to have this movement, and we allow that enough time for the government to make the change towards democracy.
Yung Wang, let me try and take your questions one at a time. Yung Wang is asking about your opinion on human rights. Is the attitude of the government changing?
Human rights issue. China has, China has developed a lot in economic and trade, but on the people's rights, if there is any change, it's very limited. And there are many occasions the situation gets worse, especially when the international pressure and outside pressure becomes less, and the situation, human rights situation in China will deteriorate. Now China are having the national conference and to amend the constitution to protect the human rights and also the ownership of private property. If you look at the document, it looks good, and it's a good opportunity to give people rights. However, if the written form can be really implemented, it's really a question. Because right now, the Chinese constitution says specifically people have the all the rights of freedom of speech, association, assembling. However, when you really do this, when you really try to realize and to express your views, they will arrest you, they will detain you, or they will put you in jail. So on the one hand, I think China has progressed. On the other hand, I think a lot of rights are on the paper, not the real ones.
The other question that Yung Wang had for us was, do you know what effect the internet is having in giving information to people in China? I know you've been in prison for 5 years, but what do you hear?
As a matter of fact, the websites have a good benefits for China. particularly because in China there are many people are searching on the web. Before I was sent to jail, I had opportunity to go to the web. I got a lot of information, a lot of opinions. It's very important for the dissemination of free ideas and values, and it's also beneficial for China to embark on the democratic path. So when China government saw this this channel, they began to limit and to limit people's opinions and access to the web, and to limit the people or personnel who want to search or seek freedom through internet. So they send them to the put them in jail. Even if it's good for China, the government limits a lot.
I would like to bring another voice into the conversation here for just a minute, if I could. Professor Merle Goldman has been listening into our conversation. She was a professor of history at Boston University, and she is a book coming out called From Comrade to Citizen, The Struggle for Political Rights in China. Merle, it's nice to have you back on the program with us.
Thank you.
Can I ask you about this, the complete contradiction that we seem to see? I was actually online yesterday trying to see what the Chinese government is saying and what the American government is saying. And the Foreign Minister Li Xiaozheng held a news conference earlier this week. And here's a quote from the Chinese Foreign Minister. He says, "Just 20 years ago, human rights was still regarded as a so-called capitalist notion in China. But now it's going to have a place in the country's fundamental law, the Constitution. This development shows what a great leap forward China has achieved in human rights protection over the past two decades." Now, Merle, just before I get you to respond to that, I then turn over to the State Department's country report for China, where I read this, that there was backsliding on human rights issues during 2003, including arrests of individuals discussing sensitive subjects on the internet, health activists, labor protesters, defense lawyers, journalists, house church members, and others seeking to take advantage of the space created by reforms. Where's the truth in all this, Merle?
Well, I don't know where the truth is, but both points are correct. China has signed on to the UN Covenant on Civil and Human Rights, and it is going to put a stipulation in their constitution about respecting human rights. The problem is it's on paper. It is not carried out in fact. The same point that Mr. Wang made, that in China's constitution, they talk about freedom of expression and freedom of association, but it does not happen in actual fact. So it is certainly rhetorically there, but the meaning of it is it doesn't mean anything for the people who are trying to assert their human rights.
So, Merle, when we hear the news of someone like Mr. Wang being released, this is someone who the United States government has been specifically pushing to have released. And so the Chinese government does it. And there's a reason to think, oh, this is good news. But other people say, look, this is a game that the Chinese government is playing. Mr. Wang comes out the front door at the same time as 15 more people are going in the back door. Is that an accurate assessment?
It is an accurate assessment, but there is one aspect to it that I think can be, you can look at it positively. As long as this stipulation that China respects human rights is on the books, people who want to assert their rights can say, well, the government has signed on to it. They've expressed their commitment to human rights, and we are acting upon it. So it gives the people who are trying to assert their human rights a certain kind of legitimacy.
And does it still matter to have countries like the United States putting pressure on China at UN meetings? There's one coming up next week in Geneva, at other sessions, saying, look, you have it in the Constitution, you need to make it the law of the land. Does it matter when that happens?
Oh, it matters quite a bit. Pressure from without does have an impact in China. During the Mao Zedong's period from 1949 to 1976, Mao Zedong didn't care what the outside world thought about China. But his successors, Deng Xiaoping, Jiang Zemin, and the present leadership does care. They want to be a respectable member of the international community, so that when the outside world makes a fuss about someone like Mr. Wang, it does have an impact. And it is good that he was let out of prison. It would have been much better, for example, if they had let him out of prison and allowed him to go back to his hometown of Hangzhou or stay in his hometown of Hangzhou, and then he would have been able to continue his political activities. But certainly it is very important for the outside world to focus on this issue because the leadership in China does respond.
Let's hear from Wang Youcai here. You're listening along?
Yeah, I've been listening. I think in China, human rights can be discussed openly. This is a great progress. In Deng Xiaoping era, to say nothing of Mao Zedong's era, human rights cannot be discussed. Mao Zedong has no idea what human rights is. So in this respect, I should say China really progressed. China has signed the United Nations Human Rights and also the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and also for social progress. Even if it's not ratified in China, the social and economic covenant has been ratified. Now a lot of farmers, they can leave their home, they go to urban areas to work. I think in this respect, China has improvement. But the political rights are not, we do not have obvious progress. And people, especially when people want to have rights of assembly, of freedom of speech, and there are a lot of interference from the Chinese government, and they are either put in jail or limited. I should say, on this respect, we need the United States and the United Nations have bigger pressure on China so that China can have human rights and democracy have real progress. And this is really valuable.
Let me just remind our listeners, my guest this hour is Wang Youcai. Just last week, he was released from prison after spending 5 years on a sentence, an 11-year sentence for subversion in China. He was ordered by the Chinese government to leave the country, come to the United States. He is now living in Providence, Rhode Island. He's here with us in our studio and ready to answer your questions. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. And Merle Goldman is with us on the phone. Now, Merle, I guess you've probably wrapped up your new book From Comrade to Citizen, but I wanted to let you in here. Is there a question or an insight that you would be looking for from Mr. Wang on the basis of where he has just come from?
Well, I would like to ask him, what was the motivation for starting an opposition political party? That, in terms of the People's Republic of China, was a radical move. No one had even attempted this before 1998. And Mr. Wang was able to begin the process and was able to organize it in almost all the large cities of China. So I would be interested in knowing where he got his inspiration for this and how he went about doing it.
Because I have been long devoted to myself to democracy movement. China has been under long-term, long-outstanding dictatorship. Human rights, freedom, democracy, the universal values are very important for the mankind and also for each Chinese. So I have to do a lot of work on this, and I have devoted myself for the democratization and liberalization of China. Because of the dictatorship that has been going on for a long time, not only needs a great effort, but also a lot of time. It cannot be done overnight. That needs a lot of a long process, maybe for years or for decades. But we have to start embark on this
Let me interrupt if I just can for a minute, though, because the part about it that I'm interested in, you were such a young man when you decided to begin this fight for democracy, and you knew at that time that you would probably go to prison, perhaps for a very, very long time. So why did you decide it was important to do it, knowing what would happen?
I know what will happen. If I start this opposition party, I am sure I will be put in jail because this is not allowed in China. But I know at the same time the value is very important. I really believe in it, so I did that. So I want to create an opposition atmosphere or space for China, for the Chinese. That's beneficial for Chinese democratization. We need to have direct election, not only from the village level, but also above.
So,
when this idea is getting bigger, we have more people involved. We should have a different party members and candidates from different parties so we can have an election mechanism.
And what did your mother say? What did your father say? Don't do this.
I should say, my family didn't want me to do this because they know this is miserable to be in jail because they spend a lot of resources, money to train me to educate person. They want me to have a better life. But when I decided to do this, I talked to them about my ideas. But they say, since you have decided, we'll support you.
My guest, Wang Youcai, we're going to take a short break and come back and take more of your questions of this man who was released from prison just 1 week ago. Merle Goldman, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for being with us on the program. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Merle Goldman is Professor Emeritus of History at Boston University, has a book coming out called From Comrade to Citizen, The Struggle for Political Rights in China. And we are talking this hour about political rights in China with someone who knows that perhaps better than anyone else in this country at this moment. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My guest this hour is Wang Youcai. He is a Chinese dissident released from prison just last week. And while that should be a good news story, part of the condition of his release is that he was also to leave the country. And he did that. He left behind his mother, his father, his three brothers, three sisters, and the land of his birth. He is forbidden to return to China. He is taking up residence in Providence, Rhode Island. He's here with us on the program and ready to take your questions about his perspective on the relationship between this country and China, as well as what's happening in China itself. A reminder, our number is 1-800-423-8255. We're going to take a call from Raleigh, North Carolina. David's on the line. David, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Dick, and enjoy the show.
Thanks.
And to Mr. Wang, welcome to America. My question is, since the Chinese government is it's a communist government, it's an authoritarian government, and pretty much the government controls the entire three branches of the government, judicial, legislative, and executive branch. So my question to Mr. Wang is it realistic to think that we can pressure Chinese government to reform itself, or do we need a kind of revolution to achieve the human right and the true democracy in China?
This is a very good question. in China under such circumstances. We have to work very hard from with a different perspectives, different resources. However, it's very difficult to change the government from outside. We can work from inside. In China, in the former Soviet Union, Gorbachev, he was a leader of the former Soviet Union, but he led his country to a democratic path. In China, we had at that time Hu Yaobang, Zhao Ziyang. They have a lot of affinity also for these ideas, but they failed. And there is a democratic group within the Communist Party. They also believe China will go on a democratic path. However, the main leaders, they are still totalitarian, and it's really very hard to push for democracy from outside. Because your aim is now specific. You cannot realize your goals from outside. The idea of a democratization has to be disseminated in China, and also the opposition party ideas should be disseminated from to the people. But we have to work to let them know, not only from the party, but also from the other sources.
But David's asking, can this happen with this government? Can you reform this government, or does there have to be some kind of revolution?
Personally, I think this question is theoretical, and something that has not happened. It's hard to say whether it's a revolution or it's an evolution, and this is a reform. But personally, I think it should be like an evaluation, evolution. And China needs this a gradual approach. It cannot be done overnight. It takes a year, several years, or even longer. So this is my personal view.
You learned your studies at Hangzhou University. Is that right?
Yes.
If you went back to that university tomorrow, and you stood in front of a class of young students, and those young students said, Mr. Wang, what do we do? What do we do? Give us one good idea what we can do. What would you say to them?
I will say everybody has to work very hard. We have a group of people work together, have their common views, and we have to have protests, and we have to form groups for election, and we have to have candidates. And a sudden change in the society will lead to chaos. I think the democratization in China should be gradual. And I hope the democratic elements in the Communist Party should work hard also, so that we can respect human rights and the values.
Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts now. David is joining us on the line. Dave, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So, what's your question?
I would like to ask to Mr. Wang, just what authors, what books have inspired you when you first began to get involved in student activism as a university student, and later as you decided to begin your opposition political party?
This is a long story. I've been devoted to democracy from the law of physics. I think the human society has its own rules. But when I formed the opposition party, I think we need to do this because for democracy in China, we need some kind of institutional guarantee. So with the opposition party, we can form some kind of institution. So this is can be managed. So even if the opposition parties are controlled or suppressed by the Chinese government, however, in future, it can develop and it become manageable elections in China.
David is asking if there is any philosopher, any writer who gave you inspiration.
The inspiration is a long evolution. Socrates, Cicero, and Locke, and Montesquieu, Tocqueville, and also during American independence, Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton, and etc. And many other philosophers, such as Hayek, their philosophical ideas and values have a great influence on me and give me a lot of inspiration.
What can you do living in America? Are you going to be frustrated because you can't work in China?
I really feel frustrated.
But
at the same time, I also know the democratization in China takes a long time. In the short term, I know it's very difficult for me to return to China. I will settle down here to study American society and also American political system, American culture, and also Western historical progress. Since America is a free country with a lot of resources, libraries, a lot of social changes, and the third wave of democratization and the influence of the whole world, so it's worth for me to learn in this country. I can accumulate. So when I go back to China, I can use experience in China and to contact my friends in China and progressive elements in China so that we can have a kind of influence over there.
You said when you go back, not if you go back. Are you sure you'll go back?
Definitely, I will go back. And I will try to go back as soon as possible. But for now, I cannot say this because it's very difficult.
About a year ago, we had a guest sitting in the same chair that you're sitting in right now. His name is Zhu Enli, and I understand that you have made contact with him. He's another Chinese dissident who is now teaching at Brown University, living in Providence, Rhode Island. I want to let you listen in to one of the points that he made on the program. He was talking about whether he was hopeful about seeing change in China. Here's what Zhu Enli said.
The demand for human rights and democracy is tremendous. The Chinese people are not only satisfied with their three meals a day and satisfied with economic achievements. They have a high demand for spiritual belief. So I hope that I know that the Chinese people, like the Americans, they dream about an environment for freedom and democracy. So with integration of these forces, it can become very tremendous and powerful. So I'm only a simple member of these forces. So I'm really convinced that the future is bright. However, the road is twisted.
The future is bright, but the road is twisted. Is that the way you see it?
You also think the future is bright, but the road is twisted.
I agree to this basically because the future is very clear and the whole world and the globe will become, you know, will work for progress. But because of the historical reasons, whatever, in China, that needs a lot of work.
There is one criticism that people make of people in China. They say now all anybody cares in that country, all they care about is money. They want to get a car, they want to get a bigger TV. They see this as the time to get rich, not to be free. Does this worry you?
For me, people working for their prosperity is very natural. However, at the same time, in this process, they also seek a lot of basic rights. And this is not contradictory. Because of the political influence, you have more rights. However, your political rights are very difficult to realize. So people just get what they can get and just reserve for what they cannot.
So the push for economic rights, you think, will lead naturally to political rights?
In the process of seeking economic rights, in some respect, it's conducive for political rights because when they are become richer, when they have more transportation facilities and with more Western ideas, and they can do this because in the past, they were very poor. They did not have the facilities. For example, they have cell phones, and these gadgets help the democratization in China in some respect. And there are other factors that are detrimental to the democratization. Because the government can control more resources. So this is really a two-side story.
Well, I think the people in China are lucky to have you on their side.
I think we have to work together.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I have a lot of experiences to share with American friends. I hope you will support us.
Thank you. Wang Youcai is a pro-democracy leader in exile here in the United States, released just a week ago. Earlier in the program, we talked with Merle Goldman, professor of history emerit at Boston University. Thanks to our translators for their help with today's program, Joy Chen Lewis and Yilu Ma. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.